It's my song this morning. Thank you, Brother Matt. I appreciate it. Amen. Someone's walking with me in the flame. Glory. You know, it's time to double down. It's time to double down. Almost every day when I turn on the news or someone that wants to keep me informed sends me some little tidbit of news, it just tells me that time is short. I believe Jesus is coming very, very soon. You saw, it might have passed your attention altogether. How many of you know or saw or heard this past week about China now becoming an ally of Iran and about to spend billions of dollars in the infrastructure and so on in Iran? You heard that. Let's see your hand. Very, very few of you. Well, that is vitally significant because Iran is the ancient name of Persia. It was changed. The Ayatollah, not the Ayatollah, the prince, what was his name, way back, who fled Iran years later, and Ayatollah Khomeini put a death sentence upon his head. He came to America, but he changed the name from Persia to Iran, but it's ancient Persia. When you began to search the Bible and you find things there, Persia is aligned with Russia and Libya, Syria, Turkey, and others. I was almost convinced to do a message on that this week, but quite honestly could not get the energy level up where it needed to be to do the background that I needed to bring it to you this morning. But China is one of the last pieces of the puzzle. Russia has already thrown in her hat. Putin went around, I believe it was 2008. It doesn't seem like that long ago, but it's been a good many years. I had it written down in some stuff. I think it was 2008, and Putin went around when he was getting what we need to do in America. Hello, what we need to do in America. Now I'm politically charged, and I'm not preaching yet. Putin had it changed in their constitution that he could be reelected for president now as many times as he wanted to instead of just once. When we find a good one, we ought to keep him. And we're on the brink of going into socialism, Marxism, and communism, whether you realize it or not. There is almost an equal amount, if not more, of the mass public that will take us that way if we allow it to happen. We cannot. Nevertheless, Putin went around the world making alliances with many of the nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38, and they've already lined those dominoes up. He already has troops in Syria that's just north of Israel. They can march south at any given time. And so to hear that China has thrown in with Persia now is another final piece of the puzzle being placed together. You know, also in the same context, somebody sent me the news that Iraq and Syria, many of the countries south of Turkey are upset with Turkey for having built a huge dam that they're about to close the gates on, which will shut off the water of the Euphrates River. And right now, it is significant because at the present point, they're already pulling enough water out in the north that the Euphrates is down 50% of its normal flow. And when they shut those gates on that river, it's going to significantly dry up the Euphrates, which is also significant because Revelation says that the angel comes in the last day during the tribulation period and literally dries up the Euphrates so that the king of the east, now who do you think that is? That's China. The king of the east can come and march upon Jerusalem and Israel with 1 billion soldiers. How many other countries are able to enlist or put in the field 1 billion soldiers other than China, the king of the east? All of these things are playing out. They're being finalized before our eyes. And we sat here sucking on our thumbs like, duh, the worst thing that we could do is wear a mask. And hello, the world's coming to an end. You have relatives and friends that need to hear about Jesus and know He's the Savior. Know that there's victory in Jesus. Know that He walks with us in the flame. And double down. And here's the reason why. Because in this is not my sermon. This is my second sermon I'm preaching. In Revelation chapter number 12, you find in verse number 12, the reason why we need to double down now is because people think they're having a hard time. People think that the virus, the mask, the government, the looters, the rioters, the diseases, the economy, oh, we can't make a living. That's not the worst of it. Satan's jumping on your back. And here's why. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, that's during the middle of the tribulation, but if he knows it then, he knows it now. And I think I see evidence of him stirring the waters around here, nationally, stirring the waters globally, stirring the waters. Why? Because he knows these things are coming and he has but a short time. He cannot do anything that the Holy Spirit does not allow him to do on the face of the earth. So it's significant that he has not been allowed to get China to support the biggest terrorist nation in the world, Iran. They could not fund Iran with billions of dollars up until this point because the Holy Spirit said, time isn't right. You're not going to do it. The hinderer that hinders is the Holy Spirit of God. He's hindered evil to a certain degree. Oh, we see a lot, but there's a lot more to come. And he holds back these personalities and nations until he says, okay, the time is right. He turned loose China to make a pact, an agreement with the biggest terrorist nation in the entire world and finance them with billions of dollars of cash. That ought to raise the hair on the back of your neck. And there are then that area with the Euphrates River. You know, you have problems moving troops and transports, tanks, troop carriers. You have problems moving those when there are bodies of water in the way that cannot be skirted. Oh, but you say bridges. But if the bridges are taken out, how do people get across the Mississippi River? You say, well, by boat. Well, that takes a lot of effort. If there's somebody on the other side shooting at you, you can't get it across. So when the angel dries up the Euphrates River, then the Chinese army can very easily march all the way into Israel. You see my point? The devil knows he has a short time. And when the Holy Spirit takes the restraints off of him a little more, he's encouraged by it and knows that he has a short time, but now he's turned loose a little more to wreak havoc in his area. The thief cometh, but not for to steal and kill and destroy. That's Satan. He comes to wreck your life, destroy your happiness and your peace, and destroy the joy of the family unit. Why? The whole idea of the BLM being the Marxist organization that it is to tear down the middle class family. That's their agenda. Tear down the middle class family and rule America as a Marxist organization. And we have dumb politicians who are giving in and compromising things to do that. BLM has nothing to do with doing for black lives. It's more of a Marxist socialist. There was a white member of it the other day that was taken into custody. He admitted to being a worshiper of Satan and admitted to praying for the downfall of America and was in great hopes of it after having seen what has taken place the last few months. Mercy, we're in bad shape. We're throwing away all of our heritage and throwing away all of the freedoms and liberties in America that's made this country and nation great and what it is. We're throwing it all away and our kids and grandkids will have nothing. If you've ever traveled around the world or any other nation other than America, you know how good it feels to get back home. Why are there so many immigrants that want to come to America? Because it's different than every other nation. And it has liberties and freedoms. And it guarantees the right for everyone to work and produce for their own families and lives without the government interfering in everything. But there's an element on this other side that's wanting to change all of that. I can't even imagine how that would be good for America. It's time the average Christian rises up and says, enough is enough. It's time for you and me to get active in things. On your Facebook, on your phone, texting your friends, people that you have influence with. It's time that you pray for your president 1 minute every day. Well, my message seems second place to that message. But open your Bibles to John chapter 10. And I think here's the reason for this message. Because Satan knows that he has a short time, you and I need to double down. And we need to double down and determine we're going to follow Jesus no matter what. I mean, follow him. Now, guys, I'm flesh and blood like you are. And there are things that rile me and make me angry. And there are times when I have a fighting spirit within me and an angry spirit. And I'm ready just to clean house as much as I possibly could. But that's not necessarily the right spirit to be in. We must follow Jesus. Now, be reminded that Jesus told his disciples, go buy a sword. They said, Lord, here are two. He said, that's enough. There comes a time when people that are wishy-washy and flimsy say, well, Christians aren't supposed to behave that way. Wait a minute. Christians are to fight for the gospel. Christians are to do battle for truth. Not truth of mathematics, truth of Almighty God. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But where you're lied to, you're in bondage. I see now how fake news is being very active and being very successful in sowing their seeds of lies and half-truths. When you talk to people who only watch that and listen to that, you can't get them to make any sense at all. They hate Trump. They hate America. They hate everything that's going on. Tear down all these statues, burning churches now, knocking out windows, all kinds of things. It is absolutely insane. But then when you have a mob does not run on truth. Mobs do not get their energy from someone's telling them the truth and saying, follow me. Mobs get their energy based upon the frenzy at hand, and it grows. And mobs are encouraged by those who compromise and give them what they want. Not right, not good. Christians have to stand on what's truth, the Word of God being truth, and every principle that emanates from that degree of truth is the way we build our lives. We have one who walks with us in the flame. learning to listen and follow. John chapter 10, look at verse number 26. John chapter 10, verse 26. But ye believe not. There were those who came to Jesus and said, hey, show us the works, show us what your Father. And he said, but ye believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Father, I pray now that you bless the reading and the preaching of your word. I pray now that you give unction and passion. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd have your way, your will. You'd speak to the hearts and lives of individuals, those things that I cannot speak, but you can bring to mind as you speak to each one in a special way. Give me preaching grace now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Stay with me now before you realize that it's going to be over. Notice something. Notice what Jesus said in verse 27. My sheep. Are you a sheep? You've been born again. You're part of the flock of Jesus Christ. He's the great shepherd and you are the sheep. The pastor's role is that of under shepherd, not as shepherd. He's the under shepherd. He's down the road there in command, watching over the sheep and helping guide them and helping lead them. But the great shepherd is Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. It's one of the great things of life is to have a director who directs our lives and gives us a word by word play of what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it, and where we're supposed to go and take care of all those things. I think one of the worst things that we could do would be to listen to the passion of the flesh. As I started a moment ago, I said that I get angry like everyone else does and I get upset and I'm ready to clean house. But God may not want that at the present time. He may want us to have control over our spirit and bring our flesh into submission, not only to our spirit, but also unto Him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. If you hear the voice of God, then you have the understanding of God in your heart and your soul. You have the ability as a born again child of God to understand the voice of God. Reminds me, I was reading last night just for a few moments, and the Bible talks about the fact that when we're in the thousand-year reign with Christ, there will only be one language, and we'll speak a perfect language that He gives to us, and every individual on the face of the earth will instantaneously have this knowledge of this language, and we'll all speak the same language. Won't that be great? It will be. But I have an understanding that God understands English right now. God understands Spanish right now. He understands Hebrew right now. What language are we going to speak, preacher? I don't know. Maybe it's Hebrew. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I'll understand and you'll understand. But look, my sheep understand my voice. Are you one of those Christians that says, well, I'm not sure if God speaks to me or not? Are you one of those Christians that says, well, I don't understand. I don't know how to tell when it's Him or me or somebody else. Listen, you need to draw near unto Him and let Him draw near unto you. You got a problem. Because God automatically, as soon as you got born again, just like that little baby that comes out of the womb of his mother, when he comes out, he's already attuned to his mother's voice. He's heard her for 9 months. And he already knows who his mama is. And he begins to understand as she repeats exactly what she wants. You're like a little baby when you're first born. You may have a difficult time understanding God, but after you've been saved for 10 years or more, you ought to have a complete understanding of what God wants in your life. You ought to be able to hear His voice completely. My sheep hear my voice. They understand my voice. And I know them. Listen. And they follow me. Learning to listen and to follow. We're not just to become believers. It's not enough to be a believer. It's not enough to come and sit on a pew. It's not enough to stay home on Sunday morning, watch live stream from this church or any other church, or none at all, but maybe read one verse, or maybe not read a verse, but say, I'm a Christian. I love God, but never go to church. But I love God. Prove it. It's not enough to say, I love God. It's not enough to say, I'm going to heaven when I die. I've been born again. Jesus saved me. That's a do nothing. Jesus said, my sheep understand my voice. They hear me. I know them. And what? They follow me. Believing is not enough. But being and becoming a follower is. There's a difference there. There's a difference in believing. You can believe and never do anything in your life for God. But if you're a follower of God, your life is going to be active in His will, His way. And it's going to be active in getting and receiving the Word from God on a daily basis as He speaks to you. He speaks to you through prayer, through your Bible reading, through your devotion, through the communication of others, through circumstances in life. He speaks to you, but He never, ever, ever compromises His Word of truth. And He never, ever, what's the word? Help me. He never goes against His Word. He never conflicts. That's good. His Word never conflicts with the Bible. If you hear a voice speaking to you that tells you something that's not in the Bible, then beware. If you hear a voice that says, you know, go and harm this individual, beware. That's not God's voice. You have to know how and what the Word says in order to understand when God speaks to you and understand how. But it takes more in the life of a believer than just to be a believer. We must be followers, and we cannot be followers if we're not listening, and we cannot listen if we don't ascertain God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. A follower knows that someone else is in charge and leading. A follower knows someone else is in charge and leading. But I don't want to do this, God. But God said, do this. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pray without ceasing. God seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh. Go ye into all the world, and I will be with you, even to the end of the world, the earth. Learning to listen and learning to follow. A follower knows that someone else is in charge and someone else is leading. A sheep do not lead, sheep follow. And the good shepherd will never lead the sheep into a dangerous situation. Will never leave them alone when the wolves come that they cannot be protected and watched over. The wolf as a roaring lion and a wolf, Satan himself, doubles down. He knows that he has a short time. He oppresses you. He depresses you. He tries to scatter you in all directions. But we have one that walks with us no matter how tough it gets in the flame of the fire. A follower knows someone else is leading. Someone else is setting the course, planning the details, and providing for the necessities of the way. The leader is setting the course, planning the details, providing for the needs of the way. Someone said one time, I wrote it down. You've heard me say it before, but I like this little saying. Anyone can steer the ship. You can put your 7-year-old son in your lap or your daughter and let them sit on your knee in your automobile and they can learn to steer the automobile. Doesn't mean they can work the gas pedals and the brake yet. Doesn't mean they know to turn left at the next block. Doesn't mean they know how to get from here to La Mesa. But they can steer immediately where they are. Anyone can steer the ship, but it takes the captain to set the course. Jesus said, "My sheep follow me." He's the captain that sets the course. Thank God for it. I had several friends. I had some doctors. I had my parents. When I said, "Hey, God's called me to preach and I'm going to be a preacher." And they said, "You're going to do what? Oh, don't ruin your life. You never make any money preaching. You're not going to do that, are you?" Like it's the worst thing in the world you could possibly do. Granted, we've been tested. We've been tried. We've been through the fires more times than you have. But God's been good all the way. Would you go back and change it? Nope. Thank God for it. One of the things that I learned along the way is to follow Him. That when I get it in my mind that this needs to be done, I'm going to jump to it in the flesh and probably mess it up. And then God will have to come along and straighten it out later. And it usually causes me great amounts of pain. If I just follow Him and wait on Him, it gets done right the first time. And there's joy and peace along the way. I've had a problem with that in my life, getting ahead of God. I've learned in the years, and you know, it's one of those experiences that nobody can teach you about. You have to learn it the hard way sometimes. To follow Him and not get ahead of Him is the greatest thing you can learn in your life. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They understand my voice and they follow me." Learning to listen and learning to follow is one of the greatest advantages and one of the greatest assets in your life that you could possibly do to help your children, your grandchildren, your spouses, or those that you teach or guide, or any of those things, is learning to listen to God, wait for His voice, wait for His direction, and follow Him all the way. I was so miserable on A Street. I was in depression, denial, angry inside, frustrated. I just said, "I'm finished. I'm tired of this. I'm going to leave. I'm going somewhere else." And after I spilled all my guts, a man with a sixth grade education listening to me said, "Oh, so let me get this straight. If I understand all of this, you're not happy because you're not doing what God told you." Wait a minute. How dare you talk to me that way? But it struck all the way through. You know why? Because it was true. My unhappiness, my situation was because I was not doing what God told me to do. So then I blamed it on you. I said, "God, I would do what you wanted me to do, but the people, you know, they won't follow. The people are not sheep, Lord. They're like donkeys. They're stubborn." And God said, "No, it's not people. You don't have any faith." Well, I thought I was exercising. I mean, I surrendered to preach. I, by faith, started preaching. I've been preaching for a few years. And I said, "But God, no." So I had to do some soul searching. Sometimes we Christians have to do that. Am I really following God or am I following self? Self will always lead you down the road of despondency. Self will always lead you down the road of apathy. Self will always lead you down the road that looked so great in the beginning but turned out so bad in the end. And now you want to blame everyone and everything except yourself. And it all begins by not listening to God and not following Him. Anyone can steer the ship, but it takes the captain to set the course. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 3, He said, verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." What happens? The porter opens the door of the sheepfold. The sheep are inside the sheepfold. The shepherd comes, and the porter recognizes the shepherd. He opens the door to the sheepfold, and the shepherd calls to the sheep. All of the sheep, recognizing his name, recognizing his voice, hear him and immediately come forth to follow him. Jesus said, "Sheep, my sheep hear my voice." And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus plainly explained it. I am the door. So you don't come and go except through me. Learning to listen, learning to follow. If we will listen and follow, there are great benefits that happen in life. The 32nd Psalm, verse number 8, Psalm 32, verse 8. God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." Every young person, every teenager, every adolescent child needs to learn that God will lead you correctly if you will listen to his voice. Well, what am I supposed to be in life? Well, what am I going to become? What's my vocation? What's my calling? Who am I going to marry? If you'll pray about it and put it in God's hands, he'll settle all that for you. You won't have to worry about it. He'll give you that burning desire. God always gives us the desires of our heart, but it is he who puts the desires in our heart if we recognize that they are spiritual and not just material desires. There are fleshly desires and there are spiritual desires. We must suppress the one and encourage the other. Notice, "I will instruct thee, teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." But, listen, "be not as the horse or as the mule which hath no understanding." Oh, stubbornness. "Be not as the horse or the mule which has no understanding." Remember what the word "hear"? They hear my voice. They understand my voice. "Which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Thank God. If we listen and follow, then we find that God does the guiding, God does the providing, God supplies the joy, and God supplies everything that is absolutely necessary along the way. Where God guides, God provides. It all begins by hearing and listening to him and then determining, I'm going to follow God's will. I'm going to put it in his hands. Hey, speaking of which, there's been times in my life I absolutely either was incapable of making the right choice, or I came to the place in my life I just gave up and said, "Lord, you choose. I will be happy with whatever you choose. You choose. I don't know if this is right or this is right or this. You choose and you show me the way and I will follow." And every time I've done that, I've always come out better off than when I began, just giving up and letting God. If we will listen and follow. You know, oftentimes we think so big. I get upset sometimes that Christians don't see the whole picture. They just see this much of it. But sometimes we try to see all of this and we can't see this in front of us. You know what I'm saying? You know, oh, the world's going to end. The world's going to end. Oh, my goodness. And we get so caught up in it. We fail to see the lost individual in front of us. We fail to see that it's necessary that supper is made tonight. We fail to see the details of life because we're so caught up out here. But if you'll take care of the details, the little things in your life, God will take care of the big things. It's the small things done that make the big things run. Oh, we look out of that derrick out there and that drilling rig that's drilling and it's 5 miles or 10 miles down in the earth and it's drilling away and it's shooting out in another direction. It's technology at its best. It's amazing. It's amazing. But it's not the only story. That story begins with the smallest details of that rig being in place. The smallest amount of measurement that can be taken to get it plumbed and going in the right direction. It's the small things. It's the little things done that make the big things run. If we'll listen and follow, take care of the little things, God will take care of the big things. Listen and follow the small details of our lives. Do you pray? How often do you pray? Do you hear His voice? Do you follow Him? The small things, do you pray? The small things, do you hear His voice? The small things, do you follow Him? If you'll do that every day, again and again, you'll find that God takes care of all the big things that we've worried about. Well, am I going to have a job at the end of the month? Well, am I going to be paid for, you know, the rest of the... Well, what's going to... If you'll just worry about hearing His voice today and following Him today, I promise you, in the small details of your prayer, your listening, your following, God will take care of everything else. In the 16th Psalm, verse number 11, Psalm 16, verse 11, he says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Draw near unto him, he'll draw near unto you." You know why your joy has been absented? It's maybe because you've absented yourself from God's presence. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The 36th Psalm, verse number 8, says this. Verse 7. 36 Psalm 7. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light." You know why it's darkness around you sometimes? It's because you're not close to God. The closer you are to the Lord, the more light that encompasses you. If I go out at night without a light and try to stumble through the barn and get dog food for the dogs, man, I may be putting my hand on a black widow. I may be stepping on a snake. There's all kinds of things going on. And I'm crippled. I don't want to go in the dark. Black widows will hurt you. I don't like spiders. But when I put my little spotlight on my head and turn it up double bright, it's better than the noonday sun. I can go. I can feed. I can walk. I can do. Guess what? God has a spotlight on the things of the world that could harm you to tell you, don't go there. Look and show the light. Don't go there. Yes. Don't go there. Abstain from drugs. Abstain from alcohol. Abstain from premarital sex. Abstain from all of these things that can harm you and wreck your life and ruin you forever. God is a spotlight. The closer you are to the Lord, the more light you have. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light. What is the path that you have for my life? Well, like Elijah on the mountain in 1 Kings chapter 19, we find that God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the lightning. But when it was all over, Elijah heard a still small voice. He said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" "Oh, Lord, I've been very jealous over the Lord, and I'm the only one you got left, and there's nobody else in Israel that worships you like I do." And wait a minute, Elijah. "I have 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone." The still, small, calm voice of God. You know what? God won't yell at you over the radio. God won't yell at you over the TV. If you want to hear from God, you're going to have to get alone with God. Pray and seek His face, and He will answer. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They understand. And they follow me." God's voice. "Lord, what do you want me to do? I have this project going on. What do you want me to do with this project, Lord? I'm upset. I don't have a clue. My superiors are wanting this, this, and this. What should I do with this?" And wait. "Lord, what do you want me to do with this marriage? It's almost out of hand. I'm not sure I can stand another day, another week, another month. Lord, if you turn it over to Him, He'll help. Lord, what about a job? Lord, you know, things are not looking well." That's where you ought to go and turn it over to Him and let him help. Let Him guide. There's often times when I've sought to do things. Now I back up and I wait longer. Now I back up. I have a desire, man. I'm going to do... Whoa, wait. Let's back up and see if this desire is here next week. You know, sometimes I like ice cream. I got a desire. But after I get a cup of ice cream, I don't want any more. Maybe it's not what God wants. Maybe it's flesh. Lord, what about? Pray. Seek His face. See if the desire's the same next week or the week after. That's how we got these buildings. That's how we got this property. I was extra special careful. I didn't want to get into a financial burden. I didn't want it to be the flesh wanting to do this. And I said, "Lord, you just got to prove." Finally, when God said, "You haven't shown any faith." I said, "Lord, he almost insulted my intelligence because I was waiting. I thought I was waiting, but I didn't have it in the right direction." You know the rest of the story. I sought God for a vehicle one time. The interest rates were high. We were driving an old blue smoking Oldsmobile, kids were embarrassed to ride in it. But nevertheless, it got us from place to place. The air conditioner's gone out on it. And we went down to the Chevrolet place to see what and interest rates were out of sight for crying out loud. And I wanted one so badly, but God put a check on my spirit. And I just felt horrible about trying to go through with it. And so I bypassed it. I said, "No." About 6 months later, everything came into place. And I felt good about it. And the Lord said, "Now." We were able to get a deal. We got a nice van, put the kids comfortable in there, had it stolen 2 weeks after we got it. It was great. We got it back. There was another time I sought a vehicle. I wanted it desperately. And I schemed and connived and scrimped and pinched and planned and pulled strings. And I got it. About 3 months later down the road, I was sorry I got it. You ever been there and done that? Sometimes when that check comes on your spirit, you ought to stop everything you're doing. Wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. This is just not, something's not right about this. Well, maybe it hadn't been revealed to you yet, but if you give God a chance, He'll reveal it to you. Stop! If there's a check on your spirit, stop doing what you're doing and wait. And when God brings it about, there'll be peace. And there'll be contentment. Wait upon God. I'll leave you with this. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they," the sheep, "might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The first life is eternal life. I've come to give my life for the sheep. That they might have life, eternal life, and that they might have it more abundantly. How do you get more of born-again life? How do you get more of eternal life when it's eternal and it's all from... How do you get more? You don't. He says, "I've come they might have eternal life and then that they might live life more abundantly." The power of God that's in us. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Victory in Jesus, more than conquerors. Being tough like soldiers of Christ and moving on in every area, that you might live life more abundantly, that you might understand that we are victors, that we do have more to life. Listen, we have a guide who lives inside of us, willing to guide our every direction, our every choice, our every business dealing, our every time we need something, ask and it shall be given unto you kind of thing. And yet we just blow and go and do what feels good, usually being led by our emotions rather than anything else. That they might have life more abundantly. Look at verse 15. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, so that we might have eternal life, and so that we might live life in the flesh more powerfully than without Him we could ever possibly do. I lay down my life for the sheep." And notice verse 27. "My sheep understand my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Are you following Jesus today? Do you find it tough to discern His voice from every other voice, the spirit that screams in your mind or in your soul? Then you need to get some things straight in life. You need to get some priorities right. No matter what, I'm following Jesus. Lord, should I go in this liquor store and buy, you know, they have sweet potatoes on sale in there. If I go in and get the, and nowhere, I don't have to wear a mask. They don't want me to wear, I don't have to wear, can I go in and just get sweet? No. Why not, Lord? They're just sweet potatoes. It's the image of the thing, and you're representing me. You don't go in. Okay, Lord. Well, they have coffee in there. Can I go in and get a latte? Man, they got lattes for 59 cents. Can I? No. Why not, Lord? Because it's the image of the thing. For whatsoever thou doest, do as unto the Lord. Huh? Do as unto Christ. No. So I have a voice inside of me that will guide me the right and the wrong if I'll stop and ask Him, should I do this? I don't even like turning around if I'm going the wrong way and I need to turn around. There's a huge parking lot out in front of the liquor store. I'm going to bypass that turnaround and go down a little farther because I don't want someone coming by and seeing my car being turned around in the liquor store driveway. They don't know if I just came out of there or not. Not going to do it. There's a voice inside of me that will guide me. My sheep hear my voice. They understand my voice. And they follow me. They're not passive. They're active. They follow me. Actively follow Jesus in your life. You'll find that as you take care of the small things with His help, that He has the big picture under control if you just leave it under Him. Okay? Father, thank You for the Word now. I trust and pray You'll use it for Your own glory, Your own advantage. I pray, Lord, You'll touch each life that's here this morning under the sound of our voice, under the sound of Your Word as we've read it. I pray that You would speak to each one in a special way and give guidance and purpose, desire, and a plan for their life. We give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's